All right, let's take our Bible tonight and go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll look in verse 6. I'll ask you to stand to your feet tonight while we read the Word of God. Just going to read one verse and pick back up on a message that I started last Sunday night on the home, the importance of the home. We seen last Sunday, I talked about how that the home is the cornerstone in which society is built. We looked at how that it's how the church is built. The church is made out of homes. Society is made out of homes. And when the home fails, then society fails. You want to know why society's in the shape that it's in? Because home's in the shape that it's in tonight. The church is in the shape that it's in tonight because homes are in the shape that they are tonight. And we looked in that about if you're looking for a mate. We talked about that, what the qualities were that you needed to look for a mate. But then we talked about the husband and the wife and the roles in the home. But tonight we're going to look at children in the home and you raising children and then what you need to do and how you need to live before them. But in Proverbs chapter 22, look in verse 6. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me read that one more time. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for keeping us. We, Lord, thank you for just the promise. And that from the Word of God, that you keep us. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul, as we've seen this morning, he was fully persuaded about you doing the keeping. And we thank you for that tonight. Lord, I'm glad to be saved and know that I'm going to heaven, that we will stand on top of Mount Zion. But Lord, we ask tonight now, while it's preaching time, I pray that you might anoint us afresh. And Lord, you know my heart. I just don't say that to say that, but really need help tonight. And need a touch from the Holy One. Lord, if you don't help us, this thing's going to fall flat tonight. And Lord, we've just got some thoughts here and got an outline in front of us. But Lord, it'll be no good if you don't come by and help. And these folk know that, and I know that tonight. We're just begging of you to help tonight and give us clarity of mind and speech. And Lord, we ask if there's one here that's lost. We pray that you'd save them. Lord, I pray you'd deal with their heart and bring them to a place of repentance that they might trust you. And Lord, if somebody needs some help, I pray that help would be found in you tonight. Might we ever be thankful in that for the blessings that you've given us, for the blessing of salvation, and in the keeping of it. Save that sinner's nearest tail for this in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I said, as we looked last week, I talked about looking for a mate and talked about the husband and the wife and the roles in the home, and but we come to the place of children in the home tonight, and I'm always careful. I don't want to get that Barney Fife syndrome where he'd always say, now if Opie was my boy, but we do have some instruction from the Word of God. I believe tonight that this book is good for your home. I believe it's good for your marriage. I believe it's good to help you pick a mate. I believe it's good for you to raise your children on this book right here. I believe tonight when Solomon said to train up a child in the way that he should go, he's talking about training them right. Now let me say tonight that as we look about children, what makes you a good parent is not the fact that you let them get away with anything and everything. And by the way, children will try to get away with everything and anything. I was a child one time. I know how that works. Amen. Some of you all are raising children. Zeke, why are you grinning over there, son? I mean, he's just grinning from ear to ear over there. And so, I mean, children like to get away with things. But you know something, letting them get away with anything and everything don't make you a good parent. Giving them whatever they want don't make you a good parent tonight. But I'm going to tell you, to raise them in the nurture and the admonition and that of the Lord is what will make you a good parent tonight. Some of you have already raised your children. They already growed. Some of them's already out and started and got children of their own. But tonight, let me say that real quick, what will make you a good parent to that child, I believe, and the Bible teaches, first of all, is you need to be saved.
I think, first of all, that there's no way for you to live a godly example before them unless you're saved. It won't work. I mean, you can bring them to church. You can do whatever you want to with them. But friend, I'm going to tell you, them kids know whether you're real or not. And them kids know whether it's real in your home or whether it's fake. Listen, our home, I try and my wife tries to make it just as real as it can be. But I'm going to tell you, we in the flesh and we understand that. But I sure want him in the middle of it. Amen. And let me say tonight that if you're unsaved, whether you're raising children, raised them, or a child yourself, but you've never trusted Christ to be your Savior, tonight is your night. Listen, if you've never trusted him, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he said, "If any man I will hear my voice and will open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me." You know, that's why he said, Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come unto me, all you that live." I believe that's what Christ was doing at Calvary when they hung him up between the heavens and the earth, and he spread his arms out. Listen, I believe he was up there holding his arms out so the whole world and that could come to him. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Hey, I'm glad tonight if you're unsaved, if you don't know Christ Jesus the Lord as your personal Savior, you can get saved tonight. Amen. But tonight, hey, listen, man, woman, boy, or girl, it don't matter how old you are, how young you are, I'm glad that Jesus will save you if you will come to him. Amen. Can't get away from that tonight. I'm glad he still saves tonight. Amen. But let me say this tonight. What makes you a good parent to that child? That will be your love that's showed toward God. You know, the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to have a lot of scripture tonight, but the book of Deuteronomy says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Can I tell you tonight, the greatest thing you can ever do to help your home, to help your marriage, to help your children is love the Lord. Just love him. Learn to love God, because I'm going to tell you now, he loves you. I mean, he loves you. He was really, you know, his Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. What was it over there? Was it one of the lawyers that come to him? Come to the Lord over there and said, "What must we do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord, he goes through all these things. But he comes down and he talks about the two greatest laws that there is. And one of them was to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy might. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we just need to learn to love God. When we love God, do you realize tonight that God's Word will be in your heart? Right? You'll be concerned and love what He says tonight. If you love God, you'll love His Word. I mean, the Bible talks about over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we go to the next verse, you know, where he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might." And the very next verse, he said, "In these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart." You know, it's awful hard to hide God's Word in your heart if you don't love Him tonight. "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know what helps you not to sin? You know, you put that Word in your heart. You put the Word in your heart. Do you know that? I blame a lot of things on God sometimes. I mean, I don't come out and say it, but in my mind, I'm thinking, "Boy, if the Lord would help me." You know, He can't put it in your mind if you won't read it, and in your heart if you won't read it. He can't call it to your remembrance if you're not reading it. You know, I mean, I've learned that a long time ago, that the more that I read, the more that this thing gets in my heart and it'll get in my mind. And listen, when I need it, it comes back. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's going to be times in your home and in your family and with your children that you're going to need the Word of God to guide your home. You're going to need it. You know, there's just some things you know what's right, don't you? Why do you know? You ever got down to pray about something, but there wasn't no need to pray? What are you talking about, preacher? You know, some things are plain in the Scripture. You don't have to pray about it. I've heard people say, "Well, I'll pray about that." So you don't have to pray about it. The Bible's already laid it out. It's already very plain. I mean, listen tonight. There's answers to your questions in this book right here. Not all of them's as easy to find sometimes, but they're in there. You just got to read and search. You know, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But Solomon talks about it one time. He talks about talking about wisdom and understanding out of the Word of God. And he talks about if you'll just seek for them as a treasure. as a hidden treasure. You ever been on a treasure hunt? Nobody's shaking their head. I wish I knowed where treasure was. I'd sure enough go try to hunt it down. Amen. You know, there was one planted out there somewhere, out west somewhere. Somebody had planted like $1 million out there, and somebody found it here a while back. But he said, let me ask you something. In your mind, we've all read stories and heard stories about looking for buried treasure and all that thing. You get a map. Got to have a map to find buried treasure, don't you? Let me ask you tonight. We all know what we would do. You'd have to follow that map and run that map out to where you get to where X marks the spot on the map, and then you begin to dig for it, don't you? And I tell you, to have the Word of God in your heart tonight and in your life, you search for it as buried treasure. You begin to look for it, and you begin to look for it, and you begin to work for it. And when we do that, God begins to open it up. When the Word of God is hidden in our heart, and I'm talking about, and I don't know how I'm getting off on all this, but boy, ain't it good tonight. But when the Word of God is in our heart tonight, you know what that makes us? That and we hide it in our heart, and we want to love, and we do love God, and we want to love God. You know, that makes our example in front of children, isn't that pretty good? They see you read your Bible. They see you love their mama or their daddy like you should. You know, children watch how they, you can tell them one of my, and y'all know what I'm about to say, but one of my dad's favorite most sayings that he would tell me growing up, son, do as I say, not as I do. And what did I do? I always done what he done. So he could tell me all day long, do as he says, but not as he does. And I'm not saying daddy was doing anything bad, but I learned some bad habits along the way. I'm not going to throw him under the bus or nothing. And let me park right here and say this for just a second. You're not always going to be a perfect parent, but when you're striving to do what's right, that's what the Lord wants out of you tonight. You'll be that good example. Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon told his children this. He said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Solomon said, I've done that. I've led you in the right paths. I've put you in the right way of wisdom. That's why the Bible talks about raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, just as God would do you. That's how you need to do your children. When he talks about raising them in the nurture and admonition, as God would help you grow, and as God would instruct you, and as God would love on you and nurture you, and in the admonition, he tells you, know, that admonition is correction, but also admonishing them to do better. Amen. He said, as God would do you, that's how you need to do your children. And then he said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, there's some fathers out there, and I'd say mothers too, that to be honest with you, they're just mean to their children. I don't know any other way to put it. I grew up in a good home. They loved me and my sister. They took care of me and my sister. They took us to church and made sure we was in church and had a loving home. And I wouldn't want to be raised in another home than what I was raised in. Were they perfect? No. But they were striving to get it right. I really believe they were. And I believe tonight, if you'll strive to get it right as the example that comes out of the Word of God, I believe that you will if you'll do that tonight. As he says, to raise them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm talking about just living a life before them, but there comes a time that in that nurture and admonition, talking about how God corrects us and how God straightens us up, you know, there comes some times that God really has to get with us, don't he? Because we won't listen. There's some times that you just got to really get your children by the ear and twist it sometimes. You know, the Bible said, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Listen, there comes a time, that you're not going to be able to chasten your children and correct your children and try to instruct your children. He said, do it while there's hope. I've had children, and let me rephrase that. I've had teenagers brought to me. I've had names of teenagers brought to me. Pray for my child. Pray for my teenage boy, my teenage girl, because they're out of the will of God. Well, the problem was the way the home was run. Now, I'm not going to tell you that happens every time. You can raise them right. You can train them right. You can do everything that you want to do right. And sometimes when they get away from you, they still want to do wrong. You know, there's a fine line of sheltering your children and having them in a prison. I think it ought to be fun at your house. I think it ought to be fun at my house. But there ought to be rules at your house. There ought to be consequences when rules are broke at your house. But I think it ought to be fun. I really think it should. I think home ought to be a good place. I preached on that not too long ago that, you know, I can never remember a time that I did not want to not go home. Is that a double negative that'll answer out to a positive? Man, there was never a time that I can remember that I couldn't think and say, boy, I don't want to go home tonight. Now, maybe if I was in trouble, but I mean, not because home was just a bad place. There comes times, though, when your children gets away and they get wrong and they're going to. I mean, the Bible said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him but chasteneth betimes. And listen, if you love your children, you're going to correct them. Sometimes you don't start out beating on your children. That may be where it ends up at, but you don't start out with it. He said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, the rod of correction. You remember what I told you back at the very beginning of this message? That if what makes you a good parent is not that you give them everything and that you let them do anything that they want to do. The greatest thing that you can ever do for your child is lead them to the Lord. You remember how I told you that you needed to be saved? The greatest thing you can ever do for your child is to teach them about Jesus. I'm going to teach them about Jesus while I'm standing in this pulpit. These Sunday school teachers that are around here, they're going to teach them about Jesus when they've got them on Sunday morning down there in Sunday school. But you know what? They got them for an hour. I've got them roughly for an hour on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night. And well, let's just go ahead and be truthful, an hour on Wednesday night. Amen. So I've got them for 3 hours and Sunday school teachers got them for one. That's 4 hours a week. And it's why with the work of the Holy Spirit, that's enough to get them saved. Amen. But you know what? It'll work a whole lot better when they see Jesus in your life and in the home. Am I right? Amen. Help me out now. Are we doing okay tonight? Okay. I'm just making sure here. Just making sure we're doing all right. You know, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 19, it said, then were there brought unto him little children. These weren't big children. These were little children. That he should put his hands. I wonder who brought them. Now I know the rest of the scripture right here, and you should too. It wasn't his disciples that brought them. Because if we read the next verse, his disciples rebuked him for being there. You know the Bible said right here that then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid his hands on them and departed thence. I believe the Lord loves children tonight. Well, I know the Bible teaches us this in the book of Isaiah. I know that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but I have no doubt when them young'uns come up here to him, I believe it put a smile on his face. I believe the Lord loves children tonight. I can imagine as they brought them little ones, and maybe they were little enough to hold up in his arms and in his hands, I don't know. But listen, there was something special about this man that folk wanted to bring their children to him. Ain't there something special about Jesus in your life and in your home that you want your children and that to know him and know what it means to be saved and have peace and joy? Ain't that good tonight to know that you got peace and joy down on the inside? Don't you want your children to have that same thing that you have tonight and to have the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside? Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation that you have that saved you will save your children. It'll save your grandchildren. That's the great thing. I mean, that same salvation, the same way that you got saved, they can get saved too. I love to watch young'uns get saved. Man, I like to watch anybody get saved. Don't misunderstand me. But I love to watch young'uns get saved because you know why? You know why? I think to myself, yeah, they're going to face things in this world and they're going to have problems and they're going to have peer pressure growing up and all kinds of things. But you know, when they get saved, they're going to have that Holy Spirit down on the inside and they don't have to waste their life in sin like somebody that's unsaved does. They don't have to do that. Ain't that the greatest thing for you to be a parent is to teach your children how to get saved? Love them. Just teach them about Jesus. Just teach them about Jesus. Teach them about the Bible. You should have Bible study with your children. Listen, you say, well, I don't know a whole lot. Then read the Bible. Amen. Start over there with them easy things. Read about Jonah. Read about David and Goliath. All them stories that you should know. Read them to them. Be good. Tell the story about it. And tell how the Lord come by. Tell how that with David and Goliath that David just depended on the Lord and the Lord brought him out of that. Teach them about Jonah, how that Jonah disobeyed the Lord and ran from him and ended up in the belly of the whale. It's good for your children to know that. Teach them the Bible. What was it back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6? What did we read after he told us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might? And then he told us how that the Word of God ought to be in us. He said, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." But then he said this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know why it's important for you to be saved and have the Word of God hid in your heart? So you can teach it to your children. It's very important. What was it? I believe it one time that Solomon talked about teaching them the Word of God. The Word of God is what teaches them to stay away from evil. Let me say all that time that you spend bringing your child to Sunday school and putting them in Sunday school, and I want you to understand something. I'm not telling y'all nothing that most of y'all ain't heard me preach on before. Unless you're new here tonight, and if you're new here tonight, then good for you. Amen. But you know what? I still remember a lot of those Sunday school classes that I sat in. I do. I still remember a lot of them. When I was just a little bitty fella, I still remember them. I don't remember everything, but I still remember some of the stuff that was taught. Getting it put in. Listen, you know, as you train and you teach your child the Word of God, and by the way, it's your responsibility to raise your children. Now, I'll help raise them. My wife will help raise them. These Sunday school teachers will help raise them. We'll do our part and that what we need to do with the Word of God. But it's your responsibility. It's not the school system's responsibility to raise your children, but your responsibility. You lead them to the Lord, but then you teach them the Bible. And that book is what will teach them how to live for God and stay away from evil. Solomon said this. He said, "My son," in Proverbs 1, he said, "If it's sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You know, when that thing gets down on the inside, you teach them what the book of Proverbs chapter 1 says. It says, look right here. Here's what Solomon said. He said, "If sinners entice thee, don't go with them. Don't consent to what they're saying and what they want you to do." Proverbs chapter 19. He said this, "Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge."
You ever heard the saying, you've got a hold of some bad medicine? You ever heard that? You've got a hold of something that was wrong. Something that's going to hurt you. That's kind of what Solomon was saying. Right? He said, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. You're listening to the wrong person. Have we ever been guilty of listening to the wrong person? Book of Jeremiah, we've learned that here a couple weeks ago. Gedaliah listened to the wrong person, didn't he? He ended up getting him killed. If he'd have listened to Johanan, he'd have probably made it. Instead, Ishmael killed him over there, didn't he? Y'all ought to come on Wednesday night. Man, we've got Hollywood beat in here on Wednesday night in the book of Jeremiah. I'm telling you, good study on the book of Jeremiah. He said in the book of Proverbs 4, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. When you give them the word of God and you teach them how to study and how to read, listen, and then apply it to their life, listen, that's what keeps them from evil tonight. You teach them how to seek God with all their heart. I'm sure I was taught a lot of things growing up. I just didn't listen. How many of us have been guilty of that? It wasn't until my early 20s. I mean, I was saved and called to preach, but it wasn't until my early 20s that I really learned how to study. I'm still not even sure when I really learned how to pray, and I think I'm still learning how to pray. That's something else you can teach your children to do. Teach them how to pray. Teach them about Matthew chapter 6, where he says over there to get in your prayer closet and shut the door. Well, preacher, I got all these other things that I need to teach them. I know there's other things that you want to teach them, but friend, I'm going to tell you the one thing that they need to know is how to live for God and how to trust God. Teach them how to seek God. Go to Proverbs chapter 2 tonight. This thing ain't preaching at all like I thought it would. Proverbs chapter 2. Look in verse 1. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as what? Hidden treasure. Or hid treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord, or the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Then means that there had to be something done first. You had to do verses 1 through 8 and that to get to verse 9. When you do for these things, when you seek for her and you desire to have understanding and you lay up sound wisdom and you understand all these things and he keepeth the path of judgment, preserveth the way of faith, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. How many of us have ever got anything on the first go around? Sometimes I get it right. I'm just talking about in general, trying to learn something. Depends if I want to learn it, depends if I like it, and it depends if it's something I want to do. I mean, there's a lot of depending there, ain't there? You know, sometimes your children just ain't going to get it right the first time. Even though you're teaching them to love God, even though you're teaching them to stay away from evil, even though all these things, that's why you're there. Yeah, they need to be getting it. They need to be grasping it, especially the older they get in the Lord. They need to be learning some things and understanding some things as they grow and mature physically and as they grow and mature spiritually. They need to grasp some things, but that's why you're still there. You're still the parent. You're still to teach them to be godly.
Not only do you teach them how the Word of God to be godly, but they get to see your life to be godly. Teach them about Romans chapter 12. What is it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You tell them that verse, but then you live that verse in front of them. If we come to your house tonight and started looking for stuff with a flashlight, what would we find? Now, I'm talking about living godly here for just a second. I'm not coming to your house with a flashlight. But you know the thing about it is God's already got a flashlight. You ain't hiding nothing from Him. And whether you think that you're hiding it from your children, I'd almost say they know. Children pick up on things. When I say children, I'm talking about all the way from Lillis all the way up to the one that's probably fixing to leave your house. And do you realize that's why you raise them? You try to raise them right. You try to teach them right. You just try to get them where they love God, get them saved, and get them living for Him. Because you know what? One day they are leaving. I mean, one day they're going to walk out the door and they're going to have another place to live other than your home. Then who's going to be there to help them? Had a buddy of mine, he's raised three kids. His oldest is fixing to get married. And I asked him about that one day. And he says, all you can do is raise them right and pray for them and hope for the best. There's a lot of truth in that statement right there. You raise them right, you raise them with the Lord, you pray for them, and then you just hope they go and do what they're supposed to do. You teach them to be godly. You teach them about holy living, why you got them under your roof, because there's coming a time that they're not going to be there. You teach them to be faithful. What it means to be faithful. To be faithful to church, to be faithful to God. I mean, just to be faithful in everything. To be faithful in Bible reading, to be faithful in prayer time. Somebody told us, when we got ready, well, more than somebody said, when we went out to Oklahoma a couple of years ago, we were traveling. Did we leave on a Saturday, I believe it was, or I can't remember. But anyway, we get out there, and everybody said, while you're gone, preacher, just take Sunday off. Just rest a while. So that's what I done. I was so miserable. Why? I was supposed to be in church come Sunday. I couldn't rest for being miserable. Why? Sunday was church day. Time to be in the house of God. I wasn't sick. I wasn't hindered. I bet somewhere out there in Oklahoma I could have found a church to go to. Amen. Why? Faithfulness. You need to train your children to be faithful. You know how they learn that? They watch you. If church is important to you, it'll be important to them. Church is not important to you, it won't be important. I can remember we was in the midst of revival back when I was a kid. And I remember Mom and Daddy bought a brand new car on revival week. And I remember that after they bought that car, it held us up a little bit. And I still remember going to revival and going in late. And I was thinking to myself, why are we even bothering to go? You know, we're already late, you know. But going to be faithful. Faithful to church. You know, God blesses faithfulness. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, you ought to just be faithful. I'm not trying to beat up on you. Now, please, please don't think I'm trying to beat up on you. But I'm just trying and praying and hoping that your home's in good shape tonight. Amen? Be faithful to train your children. All these things come from repetitiveness. There's a lot more we could talk about. He said, train up a child in ways that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They going to get it right all the time? No. They going to do right all the time? No. But I can guarantee you they're going to have it in their mind somewhere.
what right is and what they should be doing. Brother Jeff, I can't remember the man who ran the girls' home up north, but I remember him come to Lee's years ago. You might be able to help me out after a while. But he would talk about having them girls in the home, and they would put the Word of God in them, put the Word of God in them, put the Word of God in them. And then when they'd get 18, they couldn't keep them anymore. And some of them, they never got saved, or some of them never done right, and they'd be back out on the streets. And when they were out there doing what they do on the streets, the strange woman, Proverbs 7 that we've talked about, when they were out there doing what they were doing, they would see him walking down the street, and they would tell him, even when we're out here doing what we know that we're not supposed to do, all that scripture that you told us about is in our mind. It does something to you, man. I'm telling you, that book gets in you, and it won't turn loose of you. That's why it's important to train your child in a way that he should go, in a way that she should go. You train them like they're supposed to be. And we could just go through everything and nitpick. But I'm just telling you, if you just raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, give them the scripture, pray for them, live right before them. Listen, it may get messed up, but I'll guarantee you, it's still up here and it's still in here. They may not think so. You may not think so. It's there. But if you don't, the Bible said the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Talks about how that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Children just do foolish things because they're children. You know, sometimes we just do foolish things as the child of God, don't we, tonight? Sometimes we just do foolish things. Foolish means to be void of understanding or sound judgment, or to be unwise or imprudent. You can't expect a child. You know what Bethany and Zach are trying to do with these two little ones right down here? They're trying to raise them and train them. That's what they're trying to do. You all sitting in here tonight that have raised children know what she's going through and know what Zach's going through. You've raised children, you know. That's what you all are doing, trying to raise them and train them. And there's some foolishness built into them. You want to piece their heads off. That's why you train them. That's why you don't quit. You just keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Ain't you glad the Lord don't give up on us tonight? You just need to teach your children to be faithful and serve God, love God. Look at the children we got in here tonight. Just because you are at the age that you are tonight don't mean that you can't serve God, you can't love God and live a life and be spiritual and do what God would want you to do. Samuel, if you go back and you look at Samuel's life, right there was a mother that wanted to train him right, and she did train him right. Reckon about all those times, reckon what she told him and sung to him and gave him while he was at home before she ever took him over to Eli at the temple, at the tabernacle. Think about that for just a second. You know, she just didn't have him and then take him to Eli. No, she raised him for a little while. Reckon what she told him. Train the child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Home goes a whole lot better when God's in the middle of it. Training your children. Are they always going to be right? They're going to get it right, not all the time. That's why you're there. You're there to instruct them and help them and encourage them. To correct them when they need correction. And they are going to need correction. There'll be times they need correction. They ain't going to like it. But that's what you're there for. Let's bow our heads tonight.